The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory.
Oh,
glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. Visited us, true and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know this voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't have a clue what it is that you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is you do do, I'm happy that you're doing the do and that you have decided to do the do with me. Why is my phone line ringing? Is this Jesus? What could they possibly want to say to me? That is you. Give me 5 minutes. Well, I hope the rapture don't happen that way. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me. So it's going to be open line show this morning. That's why I wondered why my phone line was ringing. Like, how did they know it was going to be open line? I didn't even say anything. We can talk about the things that you want to talk about. You know the numbers here. They are 323-622-3235, 4316-325-4259. I say it again because you always say I say it too fast. My numbers are 323-622-325-4316 and 325-4259. You can call me on any one of those. You can text me on 422-4796. All right. I want to get right out of the gate this morning and say, can someone please explain to me the kerfuffle that is the communications department of the Office of the Prime Minister? You know, I saw the little debacle that Clint Watson and my good friend Clint Watson got himself into over there with the security cones the other day. And I can't quite understand why would they be tripping over themselves so frequently. What is quite laughable to me, right? This is the thing that gives me a great hoo-ha as I think about it is the Prime Minister, Mr. Davis, love him or hate him, I think it is easily agreeable amongst the general population, had not been seen during his public life as the greatest orator we have witnessed, right? Particularly because he had to follow people like a Perry Gladstone Christie. It is difficult to come in the wake of a Perry Gladstone Christie and to be credited for your ability to orate because Christie is such a master orator, all right? Christie is as waxed eloquent as they come. You do not get polished linguistics beyond the capability of a Barry Gladstone Christie, right? To use one of his own words, he is what would be called a veritable tour de force in language ability. Yeah, and so I get it. Mr. Davis decided that he would shirk from the responsibility of mass public communication and that he would come up with this masterful idea, one that we see mirrored in the Republic that we know to be the United States of America, where you very rarely hear from the leader of the nation because he has an entire branch of communication that communicates effectively on his behalf. What I find, you know, chuckle-worthy is much of the disaster that has permeated or has emanated from the Office of the Prime Minister with regards to communications have been from its communications department. That is the craziest thing. So first there was the first ban on journalists being able to walk up to cabinet ministers. Let me tell you, as somebody that has spent a good part of my life in law enforcement, that it is actually quite to the displeasure of the security detail of most primary persons that you all do that. And so I'm sure that every police officer, every defense force officer or prison officer that now has a primary person is actually happy that that happened. I had the opportunity to work at the office of the Minister of Social Service under the tenure of the Honorable Melanie Griffin. And I can tell you, we hated it. Melanie Griffin was a big old care bear. She needed to hug and kiss everybody all the time. And the people that were a part of her security detail, the people that were responsible for moving that woman in and out of the building, because if you remember, the Defense Force never adopted that until midway through their term. And they had one bunch of slack security officers running around, fellas that you're paying $5.25 an hour, who really couldn't give a flying frisbee about where does she live, die, or, you know, somewhere in between. And so when BDF Marines got on the ground, the security protocol adjusted. And it was because they was just doing whatever they did want, right? And you can't approach the security of public officials that way. So I imagine that the people that celebrated the concept most of journalists not staking out on the sidewalk, et cetera, and waiting on primaries were the people responsible for their securities, right? And it's so funny because the same people that will say, oh, we deserve access, will be the same people that will drag your organization in the news if something were to happen to your primary, yeah? And so there was that. Then there was the conflict of the press secretary finding his way in Dubai, right? And then there was the conflict between the press secretary and for all intents and purposes, his boss, the director of communications, with regards to whether or not we were going to have an itemized detailed list of the spending in Dubai. We've seen that that's not been the case, albeit the director of communications has said that he would provide that. We still haven't gotten that. Michael Halkidis, who is the Minister of Economic Affairs, has said, we've spent somewhere in the general area of $1.5 million. Well, you know, Alexander Wilson, a.k.a. Alec, taught me that once you say in the area of all the way to $1,499,999.99, yeah? So when you say in the general area of $1.5 million, we don't know. Or worse, it could be anywhere between $1 million and like $1.75 million, because all of that is considered the general area. Anyway, that aside, what I think needs to happen, or what I wish to advise my friends, is when you make a policy, do not blink. Because I listened to the little thing that they have floating around on social media now about how they've provided an air-conditioned room with seating where members of the press don't have to wait outside in the elements, la-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They are professionals. It's rain. They won't die. But literally, it seems as though you all simply took a roundabout way to do what it was you intended to do in the first instance. And to that I say, on the issue of policy, do not blink. Because if you blink, the rabbit ends up with the gun. And that is where the communications department of the Office of the Prime Minister found themselves. They came out, of course, and that members of the press couldn't just approach members of the cabinet, right? And then, of course, members of the media did exactly what it is that we do. We pushed back. In the pushback, the Office of the Prime Minister should have stood its ground. Because had they done that, this would have been a story behind us and we wouldn't be talking about it 8 weeks later. That is the job of communication experts and people that manage crises. I think the people over there at the Office of the Prime Minister are doing a wonderful little task. In penning letters, sure, the Prime Minister's speeches, they are quite titillating. They make you moist with hope and inspiration, and you feel like you want to bathe yourself in aquamarine gold and black. And as titillating as his speeches are, right? The management of crises around the communication coming out of his office is disastrous. How did we end up in a situation where the prime minister tells on himself for breaking a COVID protocol? And why did the Department of Communications simply not ask the prime minister, sir, show up with a check, pay you $500. From there, what we're going to do, we're going to go down to one of these little places where a bunch of sick people is. We're going to donate another $500 over there. And then we can go to five churches and donate a bunch of masks because we want to be seen as a prime minister that understands what the word contrition means. Rather than this rumbly, fumbly, backing and forwarding with the minister saying one thing, the prime minister say one thing, Michael Dabble say, well, he wasn't really sick. He was like kind of ever sick. And on the way home from being suspectedly sick, we kind of just kill other than the gal who sell us the jewelry and her mommy who probably home with no kidneys. It couldn't nobody else. It was a communication disaster. And then we see last week the story, the media pulls up again. Well, first of all, Clint Latre, the place have a back door. Why would y'all even be seen waddling so lazily across the parking lot? It looked like y'all just come off a field trip. All y'all had to do was pull around to the back door, issue a statement, issue some sort of communication, written, of course, that says, listen, due to the fact that there have been changes in our logistical protocol surrounding the premises, the security people that are responsible for the premises have asked us to stand aside this meeting for today. There will be new protocols that will present themselves. We look forward to your continued support. We look forward to meeting with you and letting you know how best we can work in tandem as we seek to serve the Bahamian people. Boom. No need to go past that. And then you call them one by one into the meeting. Right? Right out the gate. Blame the Commodore. That's what you do. When the coons went down, blame the Commodore. And the reason you blame him is because you don't do security. You just do communications. Them, well, listen, the Royal Palmerston Force is here. It is their responsibility to keep the prime minister as the primary safe, as well as his cabinet colleagues, all safe. There have been shifts in the way we will be doing business around the premises because of the level of security risk involved. And we invite the media to join us on this journey towards keeping the primary safe. Particularly because safety of the primary ultimately translates into safety for the media and the journalists. Why? Because if someone blow this building up because they want to kill the fella from NIB, guess who could be inside it? You cannot flinch on policy. And the reason why this is such a disaster is because Clint Watson, my very good friend, decided to bend to the pressure. Let Candy Adam write whatever they want to write. You are the press secretary. Let us say whatever. Let Levin, just so you all don't think I'm talking about nobody, let Levin say whatever he wants to say on the radio, right? You are working on a policy. And when you do not stick to your policy and we have to recreate ways to get the same intended end, you find that people will continue to have a story to tell. And if you come out in a caddish fashion and say, well, I don't expect this to circulate because it is an answer to the problem, which is kind of catty, even though you're doing it on your own personal page. That doesn't really add to the management of the crisis. So the question I ask is this communication team causing the prime minister more than costing the prime minister more than he actually budgeted for? Because outside of their monetary price, it seems as though 70% of the issues that have done so because the communications people are getting into problems, not the prime. Other than the fact that Brave don't have a problem, sorry, the prime minister don't have a problem getting the little gal inside the jewelry store sick. Outside of that, this man ain't do nothing wrong in 5 months. It's unbelievable. All of the little snafus, the faux pas, they have been from his communications people who are supposed to be communication experts. If you hadn't flinched on the policy, if you had stood your guns, and you know, I know us over here at Guardian are kind of rough. We like to cuss y'all out and y'all don't like getting cussed out. But sometimes, in order to get to an end, you must simply steady the course. Cliff Scavalla would say that there is sanity, there is madness, and there will always be madness. It is the job of the professionals, we are, to make sanity of the madness. And so don't mind the chaos. Let me come on the radio and scream bloody murder and flail my hands in the air. And at the end of the day, if the policy is sound and sober enough, we will all say, boy, that was when that was happening, we didn't really like that. But that turned out pretty well. Y'all are managing these crises poorly. How is the director of communications or the TV show telling me the concert's going to be canceled before I hear from the Minister of Health? Are we allowing ministers of health to talk, or is all the communications going to come through the director of communications? What is the job of the director of communications, and when should he speak? And when he speaks, does that usurp or does it erase that the utterances of the press secretary? There's just so much confusion. It doesn't look clean. Next, the gaudiness. That's the first thing on my list I want to talk about. We can talk about whatever you all want to talk about. That's fine. My numbers are 323-622-32325-4316-325-4259. I don't get some of these things. Some of these things don't even really need to be stories. The whole prime minister was sick thing didn't need to be a story. $500 would have fixed this whole thing, and boom, story, no more. You pay your fine. As a matter of fact, you make it look good. You make it look good. You go to wherever you pay the fine at. You take a picture of the prime minister writing a check. Make sure that leak into social media. Then you buy the prime minister a back trunk full of masks. And carry him around, and carry him to like old church, where like a bunch of old women is go, like St. Agnes. And what the one on Shirley Street name? St. Matthew. Just where just a bunch of old people is going. You just let him go there and give out masks and say how pleased he is to be joining the fight against COVID on a personal level. Yes, my administration has seen to it that 147,000 masks have been given to Bahamian people, but I thought it only fitting, especially after my miscalculation. And I earnestly pour my heart out and tell you people that I didn't intend to cause offense. However, I have cured my offense by paying the fine. And now I'm here to show you how contrite I am. And I want to please allow you all to have these masks free of charge off of me. That is how you fix it, man. Contrition. Anyway, the other hot thing that's happening in the news, apparently, Kay Forbes Smith is the most intelligent human being on the planet. And we could pay her one bunch of money to do absolutely nothing. I've been to Abaco. I can't really tell you what to do. What's so amazing is if I'm paying someone almost $200,000 a year, I would imagine that if I went into a little place like Marsh Harbor and Dundas Town, that I would be able to see the bountiful hands of the DRA. Well, not East End, not far. I've been almost East End. And I've been all up and down Abaco, right? You remember. I went with Darrell Miller. You must have known that was more of an adventure than Doherty Explorer. But I don't look around and see the value of the money that was spent. And I'm telling you, right? They're probably going to all be mad at me. Well, the views and opinion of this show is mine. Send me the writ. We allowed this to happen the first time over at NIB with Mr. Cargill. That was the first time that we got lured into one of these dick dastardly contracts, right? So I heard Anton yesterday on his little perch soapbox of ivory privilege talking nonsense about how it is that this could happen under a government and the incompetent hogwash, right? Because and Anton, you don't need to call me. I already know your view. Because didn't the Progressive Liberal Party write the contract for the four directors at NIB that also went home and made $160,000 a year for 5 years and never hit a single lick? You know, the director of IT, and then what was the other one? That didn't hit, they even ain't shuck a corn or shell a pea in 5 years. And we pay them their salary, get them their car, their cell phone, and everything else. So don't act as though this is something new. What we've got to figure out is how, in God's name, do we stop this kind of hemorrhage? Why is the government writing contracts with no exit clause? And if you accept a government appointment, man, then with some decency, understand that when the sun sets on the reign of your administration, you know, I wish more of you all would watch cartoons, you know. Disney the Lion King, Simba, and Mufasa sits on the... Simba looks at Mufasa and he says, "Dad, what's over there beyond the light?" He said, "Son, the time will come. As the sun sets, it rises and sets on every one of our reign. You look at the antelope, and we eat the antelope. And then we die, and our body turns into the grass. And guess what? The antelope eats the grass. It is the circle of life. Y'all want to roll over on the ground naked because someone take a job from y'all. I don't get this. This ain't y'all daddy job, you know. This ain't K. Forbes Smith Daddy and Associates or whoever the other people was. These jobs belong to the people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, man. And if you are a cabinet minister writing these kind of contracts, man, I wish your children starve. Because you obviously don't care about my children. Anyway, I'm going to a break. I got plenty more others to do. Dobo, if I got more show planned on the next time.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bala Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bala hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happen, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google and search for crack crime Bahamas, then pick install and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Hey, did you find the show interesting? Do you want to be a part of the conversation? Well, sponsor Unleashed today. Call 302-2304 or 302-2375 to see which package is right for you. Join Layvon Miller as he ignites the passion of the next generation by bridging the gap with engaging conversations and innovative ideas. Take action and sponsor Unleashed today at 302-2304 or 302-2375 and be unleashed.
Welcome to Dragon Radio 96.9 FM. That means I'm unleashed on your radio. That means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. Where are we? I kind of just telling you all the things that I think about when I think about the things that y'all do in the news. And I want you all to, you know, stay with me. It's an open line show. You give me a call, 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You can text me, 422-4796. Yeah, and so we sent the NIB directors home, right? We sent them home. Then we sent one back to the office of the Prime Minister. I understand that they was over there in a broom closet and then retired or something to that effect. So we've done this. We've done this. I understand that when people sign contract with the government, they say, yeah, bring me the Cargillian one. I want to sign a Cargillian contract. These fellas have created such precedents, right? That people mirror as the standard the way you do it. You know, like how when you quote or write, they say, man, it's such Shakespearean typewriting that he does. Or you could hear the Churchillian undertones in his writing. Well, when you all sign contracts around here, I understand that you all signing the Cargillians, and that we letting everyone get away with it, and we only scream bloody murder when it ain't our friends getting away with it. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. And the Bahamian people deserve better. Some of the things I want to kind of kvetch about all day on radio while I'm here. You people that keep blowing the horn behind me every single time the light turn on green, like my foot hook up to the light. My foot hook up to my brain and my eyes need to see that the light has changed before I could move my foot to the gas pedal while also looking, because we live in a culture where people run the red light very because Alexandria and Lamarck need their daddy. All right? Now, that aside, I want to tell you all that I have prayed to the God in whom I believe that the next time one of y'all blow this silly horn in the back of me, I want y'all hand to blow off. I wish the whole thing blow up and y'all lose y'all right hand. And then you'll stop being silly and we don't have to worry about y'all anymore. That's how I feel about it. Pray for me, all right? Pray for me. Now, there is some other things I want to get to. The state funeral, state recognized funeral for the Reverend Dr. Charles W. Sanders, who, by the way, if you do not know, laid repose yesterday in the Salem Union Baptist Church. He's also laying out today at the William Thompson Auditorium. That is at Jane Street at the Charles W. Sanders School campus, or the BBC campus that you all know it to be. I can tell you my heart was so saddened yesterday. I mean, you, Commodore Raymond King, and you, Mr. Commissioner Paul Rule. I get it, right? The politicians is one big bunch of slackers. I understand that, right? So I don't expect much discipline from this group of slack people, right? I expect slackness out of them. So I get it. The proclamation yesterday never came out until about 1300. I would say about 1330, there's about. So that's 130, right? I get it. When I made my way down there yesterday to pay homage and sign the book and pay my regard to Reverend Charles W. Sanders, a man that has been a mentor in my own life and someone who I hold in the greatest regard, and a man that has lived beyond his 70 and has poured out of himself long after his 70 into the lives of people like me, because I was affected and inculcated by the man long after he was 70, right? That man laid yesterday, recognized funeral. And can I tell you, commanders, Dr. King, Mr. Rule, there was not a single sentry posted. I don't understand how there is a state recognized funeral. I get it. The announcement never came out until 1300. I completely understand that. But back in the day when I was in the military, I'll tell you what would happen. There would be a soldier on standby, and his only job would be to stand here until such time as the announcement was made. And every day there would be a new one until the announcement was made. Who is just on standby? People were waltzing in and out of Salem yesterday, right? And there were, as best as I could see, two half a police from Urban Renewal standing at the gate. They was the only two I saw, dressed in depot uniform and not very ceremoniously dressed at all. There was drapings on the church. Reverend Sanders is there in full regal clergy splendor. And the best we could give to a man that has poured 60 plus years of his life into public service, right, is two half a police in depots at the wall of Salem. That's basically what happened. These things make me cringe because I remember there was a time when you all taught me that there was a standard and that there was no way to dull the standard. The standard was the standard. And the minute the proclamation was made, there ought to have been men dressed in ceremonial dress with medals and with ribbons. And all of your medal and pin and clip and dive pin and good conduct badge and commando patch and batch for the PTI and whatever other accomplishment and decoration you got to prove that you were the soldier worth your name, you went and you took an SLR. Well, that's Salem. They might not want an SLR in there. I don't know. You may have to carry a sword. But you took an SLR and you stood at the foot of the coffin. Now, I don't know whether or not Salem told you all they didn't want it. But I don't know if Salem had the right to tell y'all they didn't want it, particularly since it's a state-recognized funeral. And things that are state-recognized ought not be held to the whims and fancy of people and their feelings. All right? And quite honestly, I've been reading the difference between the state funeral, the official funeral, and the state-recognized funeral. And I think at this point, we ought to just do away with the state-recognized funeral. It makes no sense. But literally, you're telling me that if Senator Joe Snuffy the second died today after 2 weeks of being a fruit fly to some gray politician and being appointed to the Senate, dies today, that men will dress in ceremonial dress with their medals and ribbons attached and will stand there to guard the body of Senator Joe Snuffy the second. But a man like Charles Protocol, right? I don't get it. I see you all have fixed it this morning, by the way. It was the first thing I checked. Right? So I got up this morning, I prayed, I peed, and then I checked Facebook, right? And so you all have fixed it today. But the standard is something that is continuous and unceasing and never ending. And so you don't allow it to have patches, all right? I see that the state recognized funeral does not require the lowering of flags. I will also say, though, that I see the state-recognized funeral does not have a requirement for television, and I see that his funeral is going to be televised. You see what happens when we fondle the system in this fashion? We do whatever we want and not what is exactly the rule. I wish we could fix that kind of stuff. All right? And so I just wanted to talk about that a little bit because I thought it was terrible that there wasn't posted sentries. There ought to have been posted sentries. I see that there are posted sentries today. I'm very sad that that happened yesterday. And so to the family, I have no authority to apologize on behalf of the uniform branches. But they are my boys. I really like them. They are my favorite people. And when they get it wrong, it makes... Anyway, so the news yesterday was about Kay Forbes. I saw this wonderful little write-up by a business professional yesterday that I thought was quite interesting, and I thought I would read it on air because I liked the language, right? And I want you all, and I'm the one with the mic, so, you know, y'all get to listen to me while I read it, right? It says, I've been watching a few things play out in the local media and around town over the course of a few months, and all I can say is, wow, we really need introspection as a nation. It's a shame that in the Bahamas, kisses do go by favor, that hardworking individuals truly are overlooked by the unbearable stench of clannish inner circle connections, that the worth of the up and coming and seasoned professional Bahamian is decided by the color of the political party they associate with or by the votes of our parents, which ironically may not align with their children, and not by the fact that we are Bahamians first. It's also a shame that our culture basks in the downfall of others and celebrates our failures instead of our wins. It's a shame that we, instead of operating on facts, prefer to make assumptions and brand good people, companies, and isolated experiences because of our own insecurities, warped ethical views, and troubled nature. This abhorrent behavior that we display toward each other every day in this country is the real reason people build in silence or worse, leave this country. And even when you announce what you've accomplished through blood, sweat, and tears, it's judged, poked, dissected, and unsupported. Well, guess what? That speaks life into people. I choose that. That's what makes me different from some of you. We need more wholesome examples on how to better our people, our economy, and secure a progressive future for our children. We aren't a perfect people, but we sure are glorifying the heck out of our imperfections. As I raise intelligent, kind, and honest children to be great citizens of the Bahamas, which in my opinion is still an amazing place despite our stagnant mindset, I fear that the injustices seen around me will tumble into their era, and I wonder if they will stand a chance without being a tied goat to a governmental status quo or the white man's playhouse that we are building. I ask the question, will they want to come back here to make this country a better place after seeing firsthand the hardships weighing heavy on the people they know and love? Will they want to return once they realize that they must perfect the art of the house Negro amongst Negroes to get ahead? We should be asking how we can make this place better for all of our children and working towards that. We are destroying the legacies of our forefathers. We are destroying the legacies that our forefathers worked so tirelessly for because of our desire to reward mediocrity. We are better than this. We need to elevate our people, elevate our mindset, elevate our economic status, and we can't do it by putting undeserving people in places they shouldn't be. There's a saying, fish stinks from the head. Mr. Prime Minister, please don't continue to let it rotten down to the tail. Do better. Peter is no better than Paul. And when I heard the whole travesty happening in the newspaper regarding Ms. Kay Forbes Smith, who I thought was such a regal-looking president of the Senate, you know, I saw that and then I thought it was so quite fitting and I just wanted to speak it into the herring. Right, let's open the phone line. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. I got something special to tell y'all before I get out of here, though. So let's take these phone lines and then I'll get to the last part of the show. Good morning, caller. You're on. Is the call there? Not there. Let's take the next line. Good morning, caller. You're on. They don't want to talk to me no more? Give me a call back. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. This text right here says, Mr. Miller, did you forget that you are on a news radio show. In case you forgot, we've had four prime ministers now, not just your PLP ones. Our current PM may be lacking in his oratory skills, but please don't insult him by comparing him to former Prime Minister Christie, who we all know just spoke to hear his own voice. I keep telling you, Christie's greatest downfall was Christie was born in such a little small country. If Perry Christie had been born in a big country, that man would have turned out to be something a magnificent wonder. Perry Christie is an unimaginable orator. Unimaginable orator. Yeah? All right, so callers, I see y'all just get back on the line, but my producer is taking me to another break. So I'm going to the break. Give me 60 seconds. I'll be back.
Hello, I am Brenda Smith, Senior Manager of Training and Development and Program Health at the Sandilands Rehabilitation Center. For many persons, contemplating taking the vaccine can be daunting. But by getting the facts, you are placed in a better position to make an informed decision. I am happy to say that I am fully vaccinated. It was a decision I made after weighing the benefits of taking the vaccine versus the risk of not taking it. By getting vaccinated for COVID-19, I am not only protecting those I encounter, but also protecting myself from becoming very ill if exposed. I can't tell you how important that is for persons like me who have chronic health conditions like diabetes and hypertension. The trainer in me encourages you to learn the facts about the COVID-19 vaccine and compare the advantages and disadvantages. Remember, the greater numbers vaccinated, the greater opportunity for us to return to life as usual.
This message is brought to you by the Public Hospitals Authority and the Sandilands Rehabilitation Center.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. It's Levin Miller. I'm on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. If you're calling me, that doesn't make any sense. My phone line isn't working. I just found that out. I apologize. So you could text me, 422-4796. Text right here says, Levin, unfortunately, government's cause good media personalities to negatively compromise themselves when working for them. Certain popular press secretary has taken a very negative hit. Bahamian people are now looking at him cockeyed. This year says, wish Kay Forbes canceled, drop her lawsuit against government and her boss, former PM Minnis, and his cabinet should have known better. Reason, don't trust the FNM party. Find them very special interest, far too much. She got a pastor brother with a nice house. This is a lot of stuff that I'm not sure I could actually say without being sued. Miller, sir, you need an advisory job because wisdom seems to be highly rare in our society. I don't know. If you know somebody, right? I'm not opposed to advisory jobs. I wish to say that. Yeah. And I come at a pretty decent cost, right? And I'm pretty good at managing crises. I was trained in the skill of survival. Do you know that that actually helps a whole lot in crisis management? This one just says, Mr. Miller, sir, do you plan to apply for any public posts? I have no intentions of applying for any public posts. I do not intend to apply for any public posts. That said, I hope you all could actually go to the website, www.guardiantalkradio.com. I did this little thing over the week, right? Because I know that people like to satiate themselves with fodder, right? And they salivate over the desire to tear people down and they find great value in their valueless lives, trying to, draw the lines of nexuses to people and their correlations. And let me firstly send a shout out to the girls over at the passport office. You all are amazing. I put my passport in last week. What was it? Tuesday. And believe this or not, shout out to Diego Thompson, the Defense Force Marine that's down there. That's keeping good peace, law and order. Her Majesty's good peace, law and order. And a wonderful, smooth process, albeit the building is in, the waiting area is in the east. And so anytime before 3 o'clock in the day, people are being made to stand in the sweltering sun. I don't know if the minister is aware of that. But I went down there, and after being patched like Benny in the sun, I filled out the piece of paper, right? Because I tried to do it on, mygateway.com. The people down there are all quite inept, apparently, and can't seem to fix my one problem. I had one problem. I tried to sign up for the thing. It told me that they would send me an email. I haven't gotten that email. I called the phone number. I spoke to a human. The human being told me that they were putting my request in with IT and that IT would contact me in 48 hours. It has literally been 10 days. I've not gotten any contact, any email, any anything. So I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's because I'm black. I'm not really sure. But they're my gateway, the gate lock. Yeah? Good. And so anyway, back to my accolades. And so I went down to the passport office. Can you guys hear me very clearly? I went down to the passport office. And when I applied for my passport, I said, well, my dear, what is the wait time? 3 weeks, 4 weeks? She said, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? No, we are turning these around in 5 to 7 days. But I'm only going to tell you 7 just to be on the safe side. But literally, we are doing these now in 5 days. And I told her, folly. I cried, Voldemort, do not utter the word. I assure you my passport wouldn't be ready in 7 days. And so because I like to cuss people out, I decided that I would go Monday and I would go and check on my passport. So I went into the little area. There was no wait at all, actually. The woman said, do you have your receipt? I gave her my receipt. And much to my pleasure, man, my passport was ready as could be. And it was so ready. So if you're on the app, right? If you're on the app, I wanna show you my new passport, right? That is my very new passport, right? And because I was so titillated, I wanted to show people how efficient the passport office had become versus my experience 10 years ago, right? Where literally I had to go through the back door and call people I knew in the passport office to get it done in time. But literally 5 days, that's all it took, right? And so sometimes the devil talks to me, right? I am like Paul. Behold, thou had given me a thorn in my flesh. Every time I try to do good, the evil somehow is omnipresent. And so I posted the front page of my passport. There it is. And I told people that I had finally received my diplomat. If you looked at the language, you'd see that I was, you know, causing mischief. I finally get my diplomat passport. Well, my grand auntie used to always say, honey, y'all is diplomats. Y'all ain't dipping fats, right? So I say it all the time. It's cliche that I use quite regular. So the thing that made my passport a diplomat passport is I is a diplomat, not a dipping fat. And now I got a brand new passport. But they start one bunch of rumor about where I going. Somebody tell me I go to Switzerland. If you know me, you know I don't have a desire to be on a plane that long, right? So I'm holding up my very blue passport. And I imagine they're going to make me Secretary General of Anglistan. And that'll be my new position, all right? So you could go and continue on with that little rumor. Levin Miller has been appointed Secretary General of Anglistan. And that is what my penance has been, I guess, for my, I don't know, my PLB correlation. All right, so this one here says, what does this say? Show bro, next time when they blow the car horn on a green light, come out and open up your car hood. No, I tell you what I've already prayed to my God who answers prayers, right? This one just says, the God I serve will bring judgment on these politicians and leaders who take advantage of poor people. Levin, who wrote the article you read from? The article I read from, I think it was anonymous, but it was written. I thought it was great. I wanted to read it. This year's allow PM Davis to be himself. I think so far so good. He has inherited a lot of challenges and misconduct from previous administration under PM Hubert Minnis. So give him a chance. He is not talkative, loquacious, Christy, but more a humble and quiet, action-oriented, productive PM. And if you listen to my commentary, what I said was I was finding it quite pleasurable that Mr. Davis is having a pretty smooth time. All of the chaos that has been started thus far have been started. They let Lisa Raman run on the other day with some something. I don't know what that was, right? And she came with the little bifold. Watching this stuff, you have to understand. When you watch it from the eye of Levin Miller, there's animation attached, right? So she had this little bifold. And you can see she completely didn't have an idea what she was talking about. I imagine they probably just like shoved her into the room to make up the numbers. Because what she came on the podium to say didn't add to... None of it was substantive or concrete. And I really couldn't take anything away from it. Yeah, but all of the snafus in this administration have not been the prime minister. But for the one admission that he broke a quarantine, that he put himself on, right? But for that admission, Mr. Davis has been having a pretty smooth 5 months communication-wise. This here says, you are too funny. I think you're very kind. I think somebody could be doing for the government to get 300. Oh, all sorts of things, man. Government work takes a lot of time. Yeah, $300,000. And $300,000 is not a lot of salary, quite honestly. Levan, I know you think you hard. Do you think you could do the Navy SEAL training called Hell Week? I've seen Hell Week. I will say this. The hardest training I have done is the military dive course, when it was the military dive course, before we was just giving fellas pins to swim in a puddle. But when I did the military dive course, it was, oh my God, I don't know what that was. I didn't pass the dive course. I failed the qualifying swim, but I passed everything else, and it was a 3 mile run in 18 minutes, 100 push-ups. And so here's how it works. You have to do 1500 meters swim, and you have to do that in 11 minutes. You get out of the water, put your tennis on, and then you go for a 3 mile run. And you get out of the water, get off the road, sorry, you come back to the pit, you do your push-ups, it's 100 of them. You do your sit-ups, it's 100 of those, and then you have to do 21 pull-ups. I don't know who came up with the idea of 21. But if you know anything about swimming, if you swim that amount of distance in that amount of time, when you get out of the water, your entire body is noodles. To have to go and do that run afterwards is definitely Satan's work. And then to come off of the run with the fatigue and have to do the push-ups, the pull-ups, and then do the push-ups, the sit-ups, and then do the pull-ups, I don't know who designed that. It is unconscionable. But my understanding is the thought is they want to make sure that you have the upper body strength the divers will require in rescue issues, circumstances, and pulling yourself off and on a dive boats, that kind of stuff. All right? This year, say, Miller, if you know if the punch was still around, what you don't want to read, but it is the truth, I guess. This year says, can you repeat where... what I will do is I will... It was sent to me, right, by a birdie. I will post it somewhere that you guys could find it. This one here says, Miller, you know if the punch and Ivan Johnson were still around, what you don't want to read, but it's the truth, what it is, what... Guardian think you might be sued for. You have to say it in English. I can't understand that. Great show as usual. Why would someone run 3 miles in 18 minutes? What y'all was training for? To fight the Terminator? I don't know, but that is the requirement of the dive course. You have to do a 1,500 meter swim in 11 minutes. You get out of the water, put your tennis on. There's a 3 mile run. You have to do that in 18 minutes. And when you're done with that, you come back to the pit. You do your 100 push-ups. 100 sit-ups, and it's all on time, which is how you fail it. Because if it wasn't timed, right, people like me wouldn't fail, right? I actually did the course when, I don't know if you remember, the Defense Force Marine that died in the dive evolution, Charles Hasty. Charles Hasty and I were on the same course. Good morning. So you could die doing this, right? Good morning, Mr. Strawn. I am a frequent listener from Grand Bahama, and I was wondering if you would think about allowing Mr. Miller and Ms. Green more time on air, as they are very good at their jobs and informative. With regards to what's going on in our country, I think it would be beneficial. this is, you all are so kind. I think it would be beneficial to the station, even if Mr. Miller were to take over the 4 p.m. slot. I don't know either of these folks. Thought I'd throw that in there. Thank you, sir. I think you're very kind, X-Writer. You're just so kind. Dare Levin, I'm going to need your head honchos to increase your showtime to 2 hours. Please, because one just ain't enough. I can always count on you, sir, to give me a chuckle amidst all the chaos in the media these days. Continue doing what it is. I appreciate you. You're very kind. This one here says, Levin, I noticed the PLP doesn't like negative publicity and love to cover up. No administration does. I see they're smart in taking all the news media person that are outspoken and giving them positions to silence them, including yourself. I just told you See, I told you they're starting rumors. I started the rumor that I have a diplomat passport. Go on the website. I'm holding a picture of my very blue passport that I want to thank the girls over at the passport office that got my passport ready for me in 5 days. I have a very normal passenger passport. The only thing diplomatic about my passport is that it belonged to Levin, and I's a diplomat. Anybody to tell me so. This says, great show as usual. I would have failed and got kicked out because I would have told them they ma must go run that. That is funny. I endorse that message. It's not enough time for your show. Please give him the 4 o'clock spot. You all are very kind. Leaving the same characteristics them 7 MPs put in the letter about minutes. He's faithful, inept, lazy, not a leader, and would make a bad prime minister. Anyway, so now that we all know I do not have a diplomatic passport, now that we know that I haven't applied for any government position, I don't really intend to, I wish to say that this has actually been a pretty fun ride, and that as of Friday of this week, I am bringing Unleashed with Levin Miller to an end. I feel like it's time. I'm wanting to try different things, and it took me 7 years to get to this chair, believe that or not, to gain the confidence that I was capable of doing it solo, not as a pinch or as a backup. And for whatever it's worth, it's been about 15 months. I think I celebrated an official 1 year sometime last week. To Trevor and the boys over there by Prestige, I ain't pick up the goods yet. I come in for them. But I've had such a wonderful time with you all, man. So Friday, join me. I'll have one of my favorite people to have on, and we'll end it in grand style. Until then, well, I'm going to be here tomorrow, but until Friday, I hope you all stay with me the whole week. Anyway, I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. They're your station for fresh news and smart talk. I know you know, the world knows. They do it the whole day, so don't move. They've got the news. That happens next.